We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is WEEI.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Albert, why are you drinking a Cumberland Farms iced coffee when you can get one at our cafe with an employee discount?
I love Cumberland Farms coffee. Only 99 cents, any size.
Run out to Cumberland Farms and get me an iced coffee.
Cumberland Farms. Delicious iced coffee or frozen cold brew. Just 99 cents, any size. Plus applicable tax.
The Vax Millions giveaway is here, and any resident fully vaccinated for COVID in Massachusetts will have the chance to win one of five $1 million prizes or college scholarships. Registration, eligibility, and official rules at VaxMillionsGiveaway.com.
WEEI, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Odyssey Station.
This hour of Gresh and Keefe is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Now an episode of Verdugo, the left field seats.
With Verdugo, I think somebody threw something out at Verdugo.
A fan threw a ball at me, you know, hit me in my back.
And he is really barking at the fans in the left field seats.
Having everybody chant, excuse my language, Verdugo and all these things. I'm used to that. I don't care. That's cool. And then someone actually throw it back and felt like it was targeted towards me. You know, it don't sit right with me.
Andy Gresh.
Maybe.
Obviously a really tough loss. Devin, how frustrated are you for Chris right now?
Next question, please.
Rich Keefe.
To play through an MCL injury isn't crazy. You put a tape job on it, you put your Donjoy brace on, and you go play football.
Gresh and Keefe.
Because I just ate like 3 pounds of lamb.
We love a natural bod.
On WEEI.
Fourth and final hour, Gresh and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Gresh off today. All week, in fact. Rob Bradford is here. Just today. It's a one-off.
So
you
one
leave
off.
It all on the microphone.
Yeah,
here.
Well, you know, I ignite the fuse on Monday. And then
they're like, who do we need to start the week?
That Fitzy and Tangway. Tangway's sort of the guy that, like, where it fizzles out at the end.
Kind of mop-up.
On Friday.
Yeah, it'll be mop-up.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Yeah, mop-up. Fitzy will be in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. But the Red Sox have now lost three straight series. They were flying high for a while.
Six of eight, they've lost.
And because there's definitely thought that, all right, you kind of limp into the All-Star break, but you come out, and if they were able to take three out of four from the Yankees, or not even eliminate the Yankees.
I feel so stupid.
You do.
Well, for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Number one, I told my colonoscopy story.
It was just really grosser than I thought it could be, to be honest.
Know, like,
I wasn't prepared for that.
You're surprised at how it, like, where it went down. Like,
I've never heard of somebody not being able, they go in for the colonoscopy, they get knocked out, and then the doctor wakes them up. It's like, listen, we can't get in there. I've never heard that.
Well, it happens all the time.
Ever. It happens all the time.
See, I don't even know how to, like, explain this, like, to normalize it without completely going down a road you don't want to go down.
It's lunchtime for many people.
Yeah, so anyway, just to say that I had some great naps. So anyway, I feel stupid because I did the game on Friday night. Mm-hmm. They won the game. They won 4-0, and the Yankees stink. I mean, oh my goodness, the Yankees stink. Their lineup was horrific, and I stand by that. The lineup, this was the worst lineup. I know they scored 9 runs last night, but it was the worst lineup that I've seen all year long.
Right.
And you're thinking, okay, here we go. Red Sox are on their way. Yankees, they're going to be buried, even though Garrett Cole's pitching on Saturday. And now we're sitting here, and the Red Sox are limping all over the place. I'm not saying the Yankees are getting back, and they still stink.
No, they're a mess, but it's like I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
I'm more focused on the Red Sox.
Right, here's your takeaway. If the Red Sox, they thought they righted the ship after having this sort of sad trombone of series where Angels and Phillies, and okay, now you're getting the All-Star break, you're refreshed. Yay, you got time off. And now you can't even beat a team like the Yankees.
No.
And that's what it comes down to.
Terrible.
A team like the Yankees, you can't beat. And you get beat 9-1 against a crappy, crappy lineup. And by the way, along the way, you have all these things sort of falling apart. Christian Arroyo at first base, Martin Perez pitching, blah, blah, blah. You know, so they can't hit. I mean, so, yeah. I mean, it's taken a turn. And the thing is, this week, and we kid, our biggest game of the year. Well, it is a big game.
It's a pretty big game.
Toronto.
No, it's a big series.
Toronto, to me, is the most talented team of all the teams you're going against in this division.
Yeah, they've won four straight, too. So that's now just a six-game deficit. And then you have the Rays are only a half game back, same number of losses as the Red Sox. So what felt like to me almost they're going to win the division. Like I felt like they're going to win the division because I never was sold on the Rays. Just, I don't know. I should be, but you look at their roster and then you look at their rotation.
Well, it's not easy to figure out why they
how they figured it out.
And when Glasnow got hurt, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, right. that's like, you know, it's the money ball thing. Well, great, you have money ball, but not without Hudson, Mulder, and Zito, right?
Right.
So like, good luck with not having a good team with
we want guys that get on Glasnow. Base. It's a real novel concept. Sure. Nobody's ever thought of it.
Sure. He doesn't look good in jeans, but he gets on base. But you know what's more important? That you have good starting pitching. So when Glasnow gets hurt, you're like, okay, now this is going to fall off. And the Red Sox, I think, were 4.5 up on the Rays. And you're like, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Red Sox are going to pull away. And I think that was at the end of the Oakland series, or maybe after they won that first game in Anaheim. And now you're sitting here, you know, it's a tremendously flawed team in going against a Rays team that all they do is win. They figure it out a way. And by the way, they have guys that they just keep calling up. Wander Franco, the be-all, end-all,
right.
Only he's hitting like 200. Well, so what? We'll just call up another guy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, do you think the Blue Jays... Is it still the Rays have the best chance to pass the Red Sox because they're so close, or do you think it's actually the Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays are the best, the most talented
team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are, and I don't know why they haven't been able to string together wins, but they are the most talented teams. And that's not just because I'm calling into Toronto 45 minutes after the show.
No, that's a little teaser.
I love
for Toronto.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, all they did was draft, you know, 90s players' sons, put them in the lineup, and
seems like
that's
a
winning
form. Why not?
It's great.
Right?
They missed out on Tatis Jr. Otherwise, they'd be really cooking the gas.
You know, but it's they're the most talented team.
Yeah. And they haven't even had really. Home field all season.
They've been
crazy.
Playing in Dunedin, Buffalo.
Journeyman, these guys.
By the way, we were saying this, is that going up to Toronto, so they're going to go up to Toronto, they can start playing there. I don't know what the fan situation is going to be like, but starting August 1st, Toronto, yeah, you can talk about the Rogers Centre being dated, and it's old, it is old, but still, I love it. But the crowd, and the crowd being not what the Fenway crowd is, but you got to remember, when the Blue Jays are good, they're nuts. Like, they drink.
Oh, the fans?
They drink.
After it. Yeah.
Like, they remember the Texas Rangers Blue Jays playoff game a few years ago where they had to stop the game because the crowd was going nutty?
Yeah.
There we go.
That's the outfield throwing stuff. Going back to these idiots in the outfield throwing
stuff. Exactly.
Yeah,
and now factor in this roaring 20s dynamic.
That's it.
That we've experienced with the post-pandemic.
We're in for like a renaissance.
We are like of rowdy, drunk fans.
That's going to happen.
I mean, bringing baseball back, you know? One Molson at a time.
Yeah, but now this poor guy, you know, he's banned from stadiums, so he actually just lost a fan. Actually did more harm than good.
I don't even know if this guy was old enough to drink. It's that guy who got kicked out from Verdugo.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he wasn't hammered on the way in. You know,
there are
workarounds, Rob.
I'm the optimist about the future of tomorrow.
Well, you can join the show 617-779-7937. Ken is in California with a question about Alex Cora. What do you got, Ken?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Ken.
Good. Listen, I've read a couple articles. When is Danny Santana coming back? Hopefully never. The guy can't hit. He can't hit righties. 162, and I believe he's got one home run. Stop it, Alex. You're getting in Dalbec's head. Give the kid a chance. Number two, What are you doing playing your second baseman, who you just got back at first base, who has had leg problems? And what happens at first base? You stretch. And what did he do the first time he stretched? Hamstring. And number three, I'm sorry. Thank you, Brandon Workman, but you're done.
All right, Ken. I think pretty concise. The one thing that he said in there that I don't agree with, I agree with just about everything else. But the, you know, give Bobby Dalbec a chance, he's had a lot of chances. Now, well, I'm not writing him off for his career.
Well, he's going to 2 years, this 2 weeks, so give him a chance. Go get him. And you're right. I mean, you don't write him off for a career, but you just say, okay, you know, this August and September, you have to figure out what you have. Danny Santana, I'm with you. He's coming back today. And you know.
Like, that's like, yeah.
Michael Chavis is going to stay up. He was going to be sent down if Arroyo didn't get hurt. But, like, enough. You know, the Danny Santana thing. He's just not a good baseball player, man. No. Like,
They tried.
The thing was is that no one really realized how bad he was because he hit a couple home runs out of the gate. And like, oh, he must be good. And a month later, like, wait a second, he's hitting 140?
I'm like leading off.
What's happening? It's like he's like pulling Kelly Leakes where he's running over and trying to catch the ball in front of J.D. Martinez.
Kelly Leakes, good ball player, though.
Yeah,
Kelly Leakes, complete ball player.
Terrible coaching advice. You got to let the kids play.
You got to let them make a play.
You got to let Muhammad like catch it. Was that his name, the center fielder?
Oh, that kid.
Bad News Bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Didn't have a great glove.
No.
You mentioned Michael Chavis. That's what Bobby and Cambridge wants to talk about. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. I hope you had a healthy and safe weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. You know what? I may be wrong, but I thought, now that I'm retired, I get to listen a lot more. In spring training, I believe it was you, Rob. Like I said, I'm not sure. I had interviewed Michael Chavis. He was having a really good spring. And you asked him if it was you. You seem paraphrasing, kind of down or whatever. And he said, I don't see a spot on this team for me. It turns out it seems like he was right. And it's not because I don't know one way or the other. You guys know more. Have they given up on this kid? Because I know Kike Hernandez seems to be doing what he did, but Chavis was played every infield position. Granted, shortstop would be his weakest, but he also played every outfield position. And the kid looked like he could hit, but needs playing time. But right now, to me, it seems like they've given up on him. I'd like your opinion on that, Rob and Rich and stuff.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Yeah, they kind of have.
Seems like it, right?
I mean, they kind of have. And because if they hadn't, they would be running him out there. Instead of moving Arroyo over to first, they'd say, okay, go get him, Michael. But, you know, he's a square peg in a round hole on this team. And, you know, I think that he might still have trade value, and that's where, okay, you know, use him in that respect. Give him a fresh start.
Swarted him.
Kind
of got squeezed out. Like, there was a time where I thought he might be an everyday player. I mean, when he first got brought up and you're like, the way this kind of lines up and, you know, Pedroia gone and all this other stuff, you thought, all right, there's a spot for him. And nope, there's like other guys.
But he hasn't been able to fix the inability to hit a high fastball, to chase pitches out of the zone. And, you know, for some team, it's worth taking a flyer because he hits with power. He can play different positions. Great. But here, if he hit left-handed, fine. Yeah. Run him out at first base. That's fine.
So against a righty, let's say, because you were asking the question a while ago when we're doing our midweek clubhouse insider about the starting pitch game. But against a righty right now, what does the outfield look like, and what does first and second base look like?
The outfield now, Duran's going to play every day in center, and Kike Hernandez is going to play every day at second base, and you're probably going to have, unfortunately, Danny Santana playing against righties and Bobby Dalbec playing against lefties.
Yeah, so there you
go. Cora loves himself some Danny Santana a lot more than I think you or I love ourselves some Danny Santana.
Now, he also loves Kike Hernandez, and I don't know, maybe that's rewarded itself. I'm not sure.
Well, he's come on, you know, ever since they changed the sticky stuff rules. I mean, he's come on a little bit.
A little resurgence there.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, first base seems like the biggest glaring need for this team right
now. Let's go. Anthony Rizzo, let's go.
Anthony Rizzo seems to make all kinds of sense. Plus, I think it's the last year of his deal.
It is.
So it's not like you're blocking, you know, Dalbec or anything.
No. And that's the other part about it. I know that Lou had talked about Carlos Santana, but you're going to owe him $10 million next year. Like, I think they have every intention of running out Bobby Dalbec, giving him another chance next year. And then after that, you know, Christian Cassius is coming up, and he's a lefty hitter, so you can have those two, whatever. But it's Anthony Rizzo makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He just and I do think that you're going to have to get something. If you're talking about the trade deadline, you can make the argument for having enough starting pitching. You can make the argument having enough bullpen guys. But you can't make the argument that you don't need help at first base.
No. And are you of the opinion that Heim Bloom will be aggressive? Because every time we've talked to Will Fleming, he's adamant that Heim Bloom is going to do like multiple trades.
Will loves himself some Heim Bloom.
I would say so.
I don't blame him. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, to this point, I guess, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, because he's done a really good job. But we haven't seen him in this position before. And it's a whole new world where, you know, we talk about windows. We love the window time.
Oh, my God.
The Celtics window. Yep. Heim Bloom is not a window guy.
No.
He's not. I mean, because I go back, and I've said this before, you have Toronto. I remember talking to Alex Anthopoulos, the GM there, and he said, Jose Bautista, we have this window with Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion.
Oh, those guys were great.
Right, and they the GM flat out said, this is our window. Kansas City Royals, they knew that they had a window, and you know what? They almost won a World Series, and they did win a World Series. Good for them. Heim Bloom is not about, like, okay, this is our window. Even though we have all these guys up after 2022, we feel like we're building this for the long haul. It's great that we are in a position, and we'll add something to it, but it's probably not going to be in, like, trading Jeter Downs and Tristan Cassius and these sort of guys.
What's the expectation for Chris Sale the rest of the way? Like, what's realistic?
Just assume that he's come back August 1st or around there, right?
Probably.
All right. So what's realistic? He's
like
a 4 ERA. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm thinking to me, like, 5 innings a start. Like,
they want him to pitch 5 innings minimum in his rehab outing. So you assume that he comes up, they're going to be able to pitch 5 innings, which, by the way, in this rotation, no one, like,
nobody's doing more than
Max
that.
Is out at 5 innings anyway.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I think it's unfair. The guy, to your point, like, hasn't pitched in a year and a half.
It's been so long since we've seen him.
It's crazy.
And when we did, he was bad. Like, or for him. He was bad for him in 2019.
And he weighs 184 pounds.
Jeez, I think you might be lying about. He's thin.
You think?
I know he's really tall, but
he was thin. He was super thin in spring training. Like,
yeah, probably like 170.
He said he was a 170. Yeah, he was right around 170.
He's like 6'6", isn't he?
He said it was just bizarre to me that he said when he was 200 pounds, right when he got hurt, he felt he was sluggish. I mean,
yeah, same.
Same. Yeah. I mean, like, what is happening?
Feel the same way.
So, you know, it's crazy. You know, you don't want to have to rely on him too much. And
no.
I do think Rodriguez, if he pitches well, it really helps matters. And the other part, we talked about Gilmore, about playing for something. Listen, Rodriguez can make himself some money if he's good in these last couple months and if he's good in the postseason. That dynamic,
postseason,
Rich,
would wipe away a lot of people's fears,
Rich,
from the first half.
It is so bizarre to me in sports how really smart executives get seduced into signing contracts for guys who perform for 2 weeks.
Jerome James is my favorite one. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And then the Knicks were like, let's give him money. It's like he was kind of decent for like a playoff round, and yet they just fell in love with him. And you're right, they have no memory of what happened earlier on. Because Rodriguez, I think, is going to be a pretty interesting study for a guy in a contract year. Like, he's a lefty. He's 2 years ago was really good and has good stuff, but the performance this year has been bad. And yet he still may get a ton
if
of money.
If you're his agent,
yeah,
and he goes on the run for the last couple months and is good in a start or two in the postseason, it's an easy spin. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Where you say, well,
I was recovering from
he didn't pitch for a whole year, recovering from myocarditis, had to get back, was easing his way back, his stuff didn't tick down, and it's still good. And look, now he just hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. But to me, it's one of the most fascinating things because, like I said, really smart people make really stupid decisions.
Dumb.
I mean, Pablo Sandoval was a guy who obviously was really good in that World Series the year before the Red Sox signed him. And I remember Ben Sherrington, who obviously is a really, really smart guy, said, well, you know, he's the best on the biggest stage, and every day is the biggest stage in Boston.
Yeah, that was a great
line. No, man. No.
Exactly.
Ultimate, and this is going back, was, you probably don't remember this, but a guy named Larry Brown won the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, for the Cowboys.
For the Cowboys, yeah. Right? But
the Raiders signed him?
And the Raiders signed him.
Of course.
To this enormous, you looked very insulted that I said you probably don't know.
Yeah, come on.
I was probably doing self-deprecating by saying I'm older. But but that was a perfect example. Pablo Sandoval. And more recently, Nathan Eovaldi got his contract.
100%.
How much money did Nathan Eovaldi make, did Joe Kelly make, off of literally
Steve Pierce 3 weeks.
He got a year, right? He stole money from.
But you're right. Eovaldi was because of the playoffs. In fact, the game everybody points to, they actually lost.
Yeah, the one game they lost
in the World Series. But he pitched just like on short rest and all that other stuff. But yeah, he cashed in. But he's actually a guy though this year that you're like, oh, worst, horrible contract. And I think
it's
a lot of fans,
a horrible contract anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He kind of turned that around.
Yes. Like
he went out there and was a legitimate all-star.
Right.
But not only was it a bad contract, or at least, again, because he always gets hurt. He hasn't been hurt yet this year. And it also kind of led to them having to trade Mookie Betts, or at least they put themselves in that position. So it's not fair to Eovaldi, but he kind of gets lumped in with that.
Well, yeah, it impacted and also impacted Dave Dombrowski leaving town because, like, you the two contracts, you know, they tied themselves into knots to blaming Dave Dombrowski for a lot of things. But listen, you won a World Series.
Right.
But the Eovaldi and Sale contracts were the two things. Okay, well, Sale, you had the press conference with the owners at the end of February where they flat out for the first time come out and said, we screwed up John Lester, which they did, and everyone knew it. We screwed up John Lester, and we're not going to do it again. Basically saying we're signing off on re-signing Chris Sale, even though he had the bad arm and hadn't pitched.
And he had a year left on his deal.
And a year left on his deal. And by the way, admitted to me in late June that he was never going to go to free agency because he liked it so much. So they didn't read the room.
They screwed that
right?
up. Yep.
So the owners were on board with that. Well, the one that they could say you screwed up is Eovaldi. But now it turns out to be a pretty good contract.
Maybe he's your best guy. What was your reaction to Dave Dombrowski? Was it last week where he's doing an interview and he's like, I didn't gut the farm system in Boston? That's crap.
Well, he didn't.
You don't think so?
No.
Didn't he take over one of the best farm systems in baseball and then he left it as one of the worst?
Okay, you have to tell me, like, it's not gutting the farm system. Did you develop guys the right way? Did you draft and develop? Probably not.
No. But that's part of it, too.
But tell me the guys that he – that's the lazy narrative. Is that tell me the guys that he traded away were like, I can't believe he traded away Santiago Espinal.
Well, no, you're right. Like Manuel Margot and Yoan Moncada haven't come back to bite him.
No,
but they drafted like Jay Groom and they're all excited about that. You're like, okay, like what? Like his drafts weren't very good.
But that's not
right?
That's not gutting the farm system. Well, he also drafted Benintendi. You know, he drafted Benintendi, which is a good pick at that spot.
Right.
So he drafted Jaron Duran. You know, so it's more the lazy narrative with Dombrowski is you traded away all these guys. And the people in baseball would get on him because, like, you trade away not only Manuel Margot, but four other guys or three other guys.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys.
People take such great offense to that. But which one of those guys are going to make any difference? And you go down the list of guys like who he got for very important guys, Addison Reed and Brad Ziegler and Nathan Eovaldi. All right, well, who did he give up for those guys?
Right.
And Moncada doesn't count either because in order to get Chris Sale, who had, what, he had three more years of control, you have to do that.
You have somebody.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he left with a bad farm system, but I also think you do have to give up stuff to get stuff. And Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrell helped you win a World Series. So I'm like, I have no problem with what Dombrowski did, but I think him kind of being, I think he was pretty defensive about it because, you know, look at what happened to Detroit.
Yes.
Maybe that, and that's worse because they didn't even win the World Series.
Well, and signing like a Miguel Cabrera contract.
It's a lifetime deal.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Dave Dombrowski was, you know, far from perfect, and obviously it was going down a road that maybe was uncomfortable, and Heimblum seems to be the right guy. But Dave Dombrowski was never presented in a situation where, okay, you know what, you have Brandon Workman, and you have to trade him because you 3 weeks into a season, you already know he's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were given this gift of 2020, not necessarily for WEI, but, you know, but this gift of 2020.
Yeah, it worked out. You got a really high draft pick. It was kind of a lost season. You got a couple of, by the way,
you know, you got the Workman trade, you got the trade deadline guys, which we don't know is going to work out, but even things like the draft pick, the position of the draft pick, you got Garrett Whitlock in the Rule 5 draft
because
you had the fourth pick in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dave Dombrowski was never presented with that.
No. How do you think he's going to do in Philly? He's going to turn things around.
I tell
you
what, there is not a lot of GMs who I would want. If you have a team in it, which the Phillies are in it, not a lot of GMs I would rather have than Dave Dombrowski. Mm. Don't you think so?
Well, again, Yeah, I think you have to know what you're getting yourself into, and you have to be a little hesitant of that next huge contract or whatever else it is. But he makes his teams competitive. Detroit had some good years in there, but then they just were a mess, and they look like they're never going to get out of it. So, like, that's
but look concern. At look at this time of year. So this is what we're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
at this
deadline,
time of year,
yeah.
He nailed this. I mean, he nailed it with, you know, Pierce, obviously. You have even Eduardo Nunez was a good one. You have Eovaldi. You have Brett, like the guys I mentioned, mm-hmm. Ziegler and Reed, who were both high-leverage relievers. So, like, he was really good at getting the guys that really fit. Now, the last year he was here, like, that's a year where, in 2019, where they were kind of in it but not, and they don't do anything.
Right.
That was the biggest black mark on his resume here for me.
All right, T3 coming up, the best of Twitch.
Yes. Twitter? Anyone mentioned my hat? I'm not clear.
I think it might be a whole, it might entirely be
gonna
about.
Have to wait and find out.
Oh, nice.
And again, you can follow us on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe, and you can text us show 37937. But right now, here's Chris Schein with What's Trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Or Gresh and Keefe right now on WEEI. Have you been watching the show today?
At twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Been tweeting the show?
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter.
Texting the show?
At 37937.
Well, now it's time to read only the positive messages.
From Twitch, Twitter, and the text line.
On Gresh and Keefe.
All right, 1:30 here on Gresh and Keefe. Gresh is off today. Rob Bradford is in. Of course, you can get at the show in a variety of ways. You can watch us on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can follow us on Twitter at Gresh Keefe, and you can also text into the program 37937. So our own Chris Scheim has compiled a lot of the comments throughout the show. What do we got today?
This might be some of the most dense amount of content I've had in a while.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So immediately, right off the bat, we got at the Gresh's Stash on Twitter tweeting at us, "Miss me on the Twitch stream today."
Okay.
I guess people are missing the Gresh Stash.
Gresh has had a
hashtag hot stash summer.
When did he start growing that, and what is there a story behind it?
Yes. Last week, he was doing TV in Rhode Island, and I think the guy that he was doing TV with was leaving, so he wanted to upstage him with a mustache.
Okay.
I believe that's how it started and where we're still at.
Your guy, Garrett Richards, he had a good mustache story. It was a terrible mustache.
It was.
Not a great pitcher, good mustache.
What did he say? He had a great line about it. Like, it was like a broom.
Push broom.
Is that what he said?
No, but that's what people call him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little cookie duster. Then.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So then Twitch chat lit up today once seeing Rob Bradford's hat.
Of course they did. It is outrageous. Like, I didn't say anything earlier, but it's an outrageous setup. Look at the brim. Like, what is
I
that?
Don't
pick a lane.
We got some comments on it, Keith.
Okay, sorry. Let's Shime go
before you go. My favorite gif of all time, and I know like where some of this is a flat brim hat, okay? It's describing
but, like, is it?
But is it so it's like my favorite gif of all time is the Steve Buscemi, "Hello, fellow kids,"
with a skateboard and walking a hat backwards.
Yeah. Yes, that's
you could
me,
carry right. out three plates of food to a table on that bill.
Yeah, listen, it's a big bill. It's like the kid from Sandlot. Remember that hat?
Yes. I mean, like, it's multi-purpose hat.
Yeah, it's nice. Keeps the sun out.
Bradfo is teetering the line of being really close to looking homeless, or he's just not caring.
Mm-hmm. That is a line. It's a fine line.
Or,
I thread it every day.
Or
every single day.
Or maybe I'm just avant-garde, you know? So
avant-garde.
Yeah, there you go.
Put that in the
sure,
loo.
Let me Google that.
Bradfo's
right.
hat looks like someone wore it on the Titanic, and it was found 100 years later, washed up on shore.
I'll put this on. Thank you. That's a good ball cap.
Then we got into the fan that threw the ball at Alex Verdugo. Somebody asked,
"Wait, are we done with the hat comments?"
Oh, we'll circle back.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's a little breather. A little
Twitch chat has this natural ability to circle back to certain things, and Rob's hat was one of them.
Okay, excellent. Good.
But somebody in chat asked, "Are fans being more crazy, or are we currently more heightened to report and recognize when fans are being out of control?"
See, I think they are a little bit crazier. I think, especially the NBA, there was like the first five games that there was full stands, like something happened. I think people are losing their minds because they were locked in their house for a
year. Once again, it's not every day, as Rich expertly points out, it's not every day that a manager pulls his team off the field. Mm-hmm. So when something like that happens as a result of a fan action, probably means something.
I'm not making excuses for him, but I really think the last year has altered how people react in public.
Oh, no question. To go back to the Fenway dynamic. It is very, very different over there.
And then somebody else asks, how often do you see someone who loves their 18th birthday tattoo like Keith has?
That's a great point. Great
wasn't
point.
My birthday. I just was trying to give you the time frame of when I got it and why maybe it's not artistically the greatest tattoo of all time. It's fine. It's fine. But, you know, again, so that's not their birthday. So I've even considered, like, is there a way I could, because I don't want to cover it up. It's not like that bad, but it's like you can kind of tweak it. You've seen some of those shows, like those inked shows.
Yes.
Where like people have like a tattoo that they're not super thrilled
with.
Can I
ask you a question? Yeah. When you say tattoo, right? Is this a thing? Is this like a joke? Or did you honestly say it that way?
What do you mean?
Tattoo.
I think like you it's say a tomato-tomato
like,
situation.
You say it like so I know you say it like Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island?
Yeah, the tattoo in Fantasy Island.
Oh, the plane to plane.
The plane to plane. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Tattoo. I think it's a tomato-tomato thing.
Really?
I think maybe the part of the country I was brought up.
Tattoo?
I don't know anyone who says it.
I just say a tattoo sometimes just to aggravate people.
Yeah, it's fun. All right, go ahead.
Somebody else wanted to say that the worst part about the fan throwing the ball wasn't even the action, it was the apology.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Yeah, the all-timer there.
Von Brennan never gets old. Somebody else said that it was actually Cam overthrowing an 8-yard corner end zone route that hit Verdugo.
That could be.
Oh, look at that.
That could be.
Clear mechanism.
I think that got pinpoint accuracy on him, right? I mean, again, don't throw a baseball at somebody, but if you're going to.
Which is the more impressive athletic feat?
Yeah.
The guy throwing it from the Green Monster over the mountains and hitting Giancarlo Stanton, or this guy hitting between the nines?
This guy.
Okay.
Directly in the back. You're up so high in the monster that it's really not like you it's, can just simple, it's simple science. You're really not throwing it that
you can
far.
If StatCast was trying, you would absolutely get some readings on both those throws.
If you're throwing from there, you should be able to get it to first base from there. You're up so high.
Not to circle back to your tattoo, but from the 857, the Shamrock is pretty white trashy.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah, I mean,
he's Irish and he's from Boston.
I don't have barbed wire on my arm.
That's true. Yeah, Rosa Thorne.
Talk about the most unfortunate tattoo of all time. Pamela Anderson getting the barbed wire tattoo.
She's in the film Barbed Wire.
I know. Yeah. Like,
it's tough.
Did she get it taken off?
And then I think it's still on there. It was kind of thin. Then there's also like all the tribals that were super popular. Then people are like, yeah, I got this.
Well, it's because The Rock had one. And so like everybody's like, I need one of those.
Yeah, that's true. But also the problem is you get like a sweet arm tattoo when maybe you're a little bit younger. Then you get older. Maybe you don't work out as much. Now suddenly your arm's not
a little flabby arm. Not great.
By far the most controversial take of the show today is you saying that if you get a sleeve, a tattoo sleeve of tattoos, that you aren't a very confident person. That doesn't necessarily make you a confident person.
I was talking about toughness. I was saying.
Bravado. I've said bravado and confidence automatically.
I don't think. That means anything.
Okay.
Well, our friend Goo weighed in on Twitter saying, I heard Santa doesn't give you presents on the years you get tattoos.
Yep, that's true. At least that year.
Does Santa have an arm tattoo?
I don't think so. I think he is tattoo free.
Or might have the back ones. You'll never know.
Then you'll never know. That's
true. At the beach. How often Santa at the beach?
Yeah, he's like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes,
he has some good ones.
Yeah, he certainly did.
He has some real good
ones. That's Santa.
So I had mentioned that sometimes tall people are deceptively heavier than we expect.
Yes, that was a great take.
Well, from the 413, if tall, thin people weigh more, then logically, short and heavy-looking people are actually lighter than they seem. I've been waiting to hear that my whole life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess based on your logic, that would be true.
No, that's not necessarily true, because shorter people, they're just denser.
Like,
I guess, intensity, like you're really packed in.
The intensity you say denser is impressive.
Yeah, it's just density. Trust
this obviously came from Chris Sale. Me saying that 184 pounds is what Chris Sale weighs right now.
And again, if you do like the old BMI test, if you're 6'6", you should be probably a lot more than 184.
Probably.
I mean, everybody's built. That's not the perfect scale, but I'm just saying that's a little light.
From the Twitch chat as well, Rich is spot on. I cannot trust a player with the T-shirt or the leggings underneath.
Get out of here with a T-shirt. You can't wear a T-shirt and play. Either two things. You either go with just the jersey, right, standard, or what was pretty popular in the early to mid-90s was like the John Wallace cut T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
So you can wear the T-shirt underneath, but you're still showing off the arms. That I will allow as well. That was very popular for a while. But you cannot do the T-shirt like
the Evan Fournier.
No. What the hell?
It really is a bad T-shirt.
It's real bad.
It's a bad T-shirt.
It's real bad.
I really don't like it. I don't like that.
How did the Rich Keefe uniform protocol go when you were playing college? Let's go to college football.
Oh, football?
Did you have the eye black?
Eye black, yes.
Okay, of course. Very important.
Eye black
means
arm,
a lot.
Arm, whatever, like wristbands, but like pulled up.
You know what I mean? Wristbands like on the bicep.
Oh, on the forearm.
On the forearm.
On the forearm.
Like just below the, or like around the elbow. Like just below the elbow.
Love that.
High socks, that kind of thing that match the cleats.
Nice.
Yeah. You're like the icy white cleats.
Someone else was accosting me, both on the text line and in Twitch chat. Did he just say that's how we determine who the first four presidents were when we're talking about Mount Rushmore?
People lose their mind on that.
It's
one.
A joke.
Yeah, they don't get it.
We've been it's doing fine. It now for like six months.
Mount Rushmore meat might be the greatest idea you've ever come up with. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll post that on WEEI.com later this week.
Very controversial brisket over lamb.
A lot of hits there.
It's also now been proven that Bradford is completely full of crap as he was unable to go through this colonoscopy.
That's a layup. Come on. That's a layup. That's a layup. I did everything they asked.
Well, obviously not.
The 508 said, Rob being limber, Rob is more like Limburger.
Nice.
There you go.
It's hit or miss on the switch.
Bradford wants you to think he looks homeless when he really works for the high table and he's just waiting to fight John Wick.
Wow.
Is that a compliment?
I kind of that is good. Like Lawrence Fishburne there in John Wick.
So that
Wick.
Is a compliment.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
you'd be going toe-to-toe with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, excellent.
That is real good. Yeah.
I can hang in the air exactly the same amount of time.
Someone's asking, is Rich interviewing a train conductor?
Yeah, it's train week here on WEEI. Leading off with a conductor here. Good stuff.
Listen, we're thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
That's right.
I love when people think outside the box. Those jokes are good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, guys, I wanted to talk to you guys about the milk I had yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was from a pampered cow because it was spoiled milk.
Is that you or is that somebody on the thing?
Stinks. It's a dad joke.
Is that it, Sean?
Did you not get it?
Yeah, no, I got it.
It's horrible.
I got it.
Is that it?
Picked up on it? Yeah, that's it. That'll be T3 for the day.
Oh, thank you so much, Sean. Very good.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, not great. All right, you got something to wrap up the show coming up next.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Time for You Got Something here on Gresh and Keith. No Gresh today. Rob Bradford is in, and You Got Something is brought to you by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, you know that busy signals and placing customers on hold means lost revenue. Let Unified Office help you maximize sales at unifiedoffice.com. All right, Bradford, you got something?
Ooh, I get to go first?
Sure. Why the hell not?
Excellent. Well, Atlanta Falcons kicker, Younghoe Koo, who actually had a tryout with the Patriots, correct?
I think he was on the practice squad for a minute.
Am I pronouncing his name correctly, Sean?
Younghoe Koo.
Why is it spelled that way?
He was a stud. He was a Pro Bowler last year, wasn't he?
I believe so. I mean,
that was the one that got away for the Patriots. No question about it.
When they needed a kicker.
Well, right. He had his Jeep stolen.
Oh, no.
And he took to Instagram pleading for one thing.
What's that? Oh, the tape deck.
Not his Jeep to be returned necessarily.
No.
Just his cleats.
Ooh.
Said, someone stole my Jeep.
He didn't say someone stole my Jeep.
Whatever. Someone stole my Jeep. Can you just bring my cleats back, though? I won't even be mad, bro. Uh-huh. Just bring my cleats back.
What's the most valuable thing in your car right now?
Well, as I told you, I have a new car.
So besides the whole car, because obviously if somebody just stole the car, I assume it'd be more expensive.
But so what, I have nothing value. But because I vowed I had the messiest car of all time. I vowed if I ever got a new car, I was going to turn the page and have nothing in my car.
Clean car.
Totally clean car.
Ooh, like you can drive a Lyft.
You can eat off my car.
I'm not going to do that, but that's pretty good. So you have a nice clean car enough that's in there. Shine, what's the most valuable thing inside your car?
My golf clubs.
Oh, so you drive around with those bad boys all the time?
Yeah, they're in the trunk.
Yep, that would definitely be the
most. I take it back. There is a whiteboard that I have to draw basketball plays on in my back seat right now.
Wow, so 20 so that bucks. Would be it.
Just nice. Bring my white bat board
to
back,
me, it's
please.
Probably these headphones. I really don't have anything that valuable in there.
I never leave my headphones in my car. I always have them in my backpack, which I take in and out of the house.
My grandfather, rest in peace, he had his golf club stolen. He was getting his car fixed at a place. Some guy walked in, took the keys, took off with the car.
They really?
Stole the car from a place you're getting it fixed at. Like, walked in, must have knew what the keys were, grabbed it, took off. And the, again, he had his golf clubs in there. Most valuable thing.
Have you ever had your guys have ever had any car stolen? At
not
all?
Stolen, been like broken into, broken and like in. Flushed around, but like not taken. No,
yeah.
That'd okay. be jarring.
My car looks like a piece of crap, so I don't think anybody would ever want
to
break
used
into
to
my
be
car.
Be a piece of crap, Shime. You got something?
I do, guys. So Ryan McDowell, he works for Locked On Dynasty, does a lot of fantasy work, and so he tweeted out a graph of the best fantasy football seasons ever by age.
Ooh!
So Tom Brady owns eight of the best quarterback ages. Granted, he's like the only quarterback to play after the age of 40 other than Vinny Testaverde.
As I said, so the last 4 years had to be all Brady, right?
Yeah, 40 to 43 are all Brady, and then 44 is Testaverde, but Brady will probably take that this year.
Yep.
And then Brady's on eight times. Jerry Rice has the most. He is on nine times. He's on from age 38 to 42. He's on for 31, 32, 33, and when he was 24. So, So this list is actually really cool to take like a look back and just see who the best players would have been in fantasy football, because it goes back. I mean, Walter Payton has two of the spots on this list.
That's pretty cool.
So it's pretty cool to take a look
at. Are
you
guys
there.
Optimistic about your fantasy football seasons?
Very
up?
Much so.
Yeah, yeah.
You're brimming with bravado.
Oh,
all that's
God,
missing
always.
Is the sleeve of tattoos.
I'm so excited for fantasy football this year, Rob. It's me and John did a little bit on Saturday, actually, on the producer show.
Excellent show, by the way. I really, really enjoy the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Rich, you got something?
I do have something. Tonight, a very exciting, speaking of anticipated, episode of the Hashtag Dork Podcast. We're talking Loki.
I also very great much show. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. But Loki was a powerhouse show on Disney Plus. It's getting rave reviews. We're finally going to get a chance to sit down and talk about it. If you're into Marvel, this is really kind of jump-starting the next entire phase of like the movies and the shows. Like, this show seems to be really, really important. So we're going to cover that bad boy. Only six episodes, which I think is sort of a sweet spot for some of these shows.
Have you done an episode on Anthony Mackie?
Not specifically, but we did The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
You like Anthony Mackie?
Well, he's a close friend. I took a selfie with him once.
Are you a get a selfie guy?
It depends. But this was, we were hanging out sort of at the same
time. You hanging out with Anthony Mackie?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. I'll run this back.
Yes.
When were you hanging out with Anthony
at
Mackie?
At the David Ortiz charity golf tournament. And everyone's just hanging out.
Were you in a foursome together?
No, we were hanging out. It was like
we're at the 19th hole.
You're down by the beach, drinking till 3 o'clock in the morning, hanging out.
That's pretty neat. I'll count that.
Cool.
That
he
counts.
Seems like the man.
Oh yeah, he's right. He's really cool. He wanted to do. He was talking about. He's like, oh, I want to do a movie on Roberto Clemente. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. There you go.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he's in everything, man.
He really is.
Like, he is in everything. Yeah. He's really down-to-earth good guy.
Oh,
close personal friend.
Now, Shime, you have a story. I don't know how many details you want to give about you saw somebody requesting a selfie.
Yeah, at a local coffee establishment, I ran into one Bruins player with a recognizable nose. So somebody walked up to
Kevin
him.
Kevin Miller?
Yes, definitely. Somebody walked up to him while he's on the phone and asked for a selfie. And he said, sure. Like, he was very kind about it, just said, sure. But he was, like, on the phone. And then the person that asked for the selfie then asked somebody else sitting at a table to take the picture instead of just snapping a selfie.
That is terrible etiquette. You can't. If somebody's on the phone, they might very well be fake on the phone just so they can avoid that. You can't ask for somebody.
Are you a selfie guy?
No, I don't think I've ever asked a person. If I was in the scenario that you were, and it was somebody as cool as Anthony Mackie, and we were actually talking and hanging out for a little bit,
then maybe I would. But I would never see somebody at
more,
a coffee shop and be like, hey, real quick.
It was all more for my kids.
Yeah, okay, fine. But no, I wouldn't with... No. I don't think I've ever taken one.
My worst selfie story, I got turned down for a selfie, which is, there was no worse feeling.
Who?
No worse.
Tawny Kitaen?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Ooh, JGL?
Wow.
I was...
He gave you the...
Brad's rubbing elbows with really famous people.
I do not blame him
They
at
were
all.
Both in the same movie together,
I
by
do
the
not
way.
Blame... Yes. I do not blame him at all. So I was in the Toronto, this little Toronto airport, and I'm in this little cluster of chairs, and him, his wife, his mother, and his little baby, they come down and say, can we sit with you? It's just us. And I'm like, sure. And then I look up, and like, I really like it. But so I'm like,
that's
hey,
great.
Listen, big fan. And then so we're talking a little bit, but then he becomes clear, like, he just wants to take the kid and move on.
Yeah.
I end up talking to his wife and his mother for a while, but now I'm boarding my plane. So now I got to shoot my shot here,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So
that's
I go
it.
Up to him, and I say, hey, listen, nice to meet you. Can I take a selfie? He's like, not here. Like, okay, I respect you.
not here? Like, there was some other place.
Such
yeah,
a bad.
I see on Mars. We
yeah,
can take one there.
Yeah,
that'll
not here. So anyway, there's no worse feeling. No
My
worse
favorite
feeling.
Is when people misidentify celebrities in public,
yeah.
Take pictures with them,
post
and
the
then tweet
guy.
It at them, yeah, and they're right. Like, bro, not me. Sorry.
Some girl thought I was Tim Wakefield in Fort Myers once. Tim Wakefield was not happy when I told him that story.
All right, well, that'll do it for us.
All right.
Bradfo, great stuff. Thanks
yeah,
for,
good
for
time.
Being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Good job by Shime and Nick. Fitzy will be in tomorrow as Gresh is off all week long. OMF with Mutt coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.